thank you for this time together to hear your word, hear you speak to our hearts and minds this morning. And just that we remember this week, just to keep on our prayers, those that are facing surgery and recovery, especially Ellen Gagnon for surgery this week and Jan for her surgery, and that Ann will recover well. We just continue to pray and lift them up to you today and this morning and this week to come. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Betsy was playing that song earlier, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, it brought me back to 40 years ago when Wander and I would go up to Camp Wanakee, the Methodist camp, and be counselors for a week. And I remember singing that song at times, and we'd have the kids act that out, where they jump up and down, and then when the walls fall, they all fell down. And I thought, that'd be kind of cool to try that here, wouldn't it? The only thing that would bother me is I could fall down really. I'm not so sure I could get up. That would be the problem. But that was a great song. Thank you very much. Well, our scripture this morning is from James chapter 5, and you notice in verse 1 it begins with, be patient, and then it says, until the coming of the Lord. Well, as I read that, that one hit me square in the face, because I will tell you up front that I am not, by nature, a patient person. Patience is not one of my strongest values. In fact, I hate to wait. When Wander and I go out to eat, if there's a line or there's a waiting time, even though I so much may want to go to that restaurant, I'd rather go someplace else than eat. If Amazon informs me that my order is on the way and will be arriving in a few days, I keep looking at the website to see if it's coming earlier. When I'm at Walmart, I will move from checkout to checkout to find the shortest line. And even then, if it's still too long, I'll do the one thing I really don't like to do and go to that self-checkout section. Right? Anybody with me on this? Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. I do not like to wait, and my patience threshold is very low. But I read this scripture, and it's very clear that God calls us to be patient until the return of the Lord. So what does the Lord mean when he says, be patient, beloved, until I come back? Well, the word in the original language of the New Testament means this, to remain tranquil while waiting, to endure provocation without complaint, to hope and trust in the Lord while we wait for his return. Words such as perseverance, endurance, trust, and hope are the words God speaks to us impatient people. All of this is in the context of waiting in hope, trusting in the Lord, and working for the building of God's kingdom until the return of Jesus, or until we go home to be with the Lord. What the Lord is saying to me this morning is I need to ripen the fruit of patience until one, he returns, or two, I go home to be with him. So the real question is, how then do we do that? How do we ripen that fruit of patience within our lives? Well, that word, patience, is not a passive word. It's an active word. And it means to be intentional about what you are doing. And it is a fruit to be cultivated, and it's put in terms, not as a suggestion, but as a command of the Lord. Being patient means that we are responsible before God to wait for whatever it is he calls us to wait for. But he calls us specifically to have patience with others and to have patience through trials and tribulations. You see, this letter of James was written to a church that was facing persecution. These Christians were being persecuted just for being Christians. And he was telling them, you need to endure. You need to stay strong in your witness. You need to continue to love and persevere in spite of this very heavy, strong, and deadly persecution that you are facing. So the first thing that James is saying to us is have patience with others. So I ask myself and I ask you this question this morning, what is your patience threshold? Well, we understand that the Lord has a very high patience threshold. He knows our faults. He knows our pain that we have and the pain we've caused others. And in spite of all the times we've been impatient with God and with others, he remains very patient and understanding with us. He is extremely patient to the point that he loves us so much that he has extended to us his grace, his forgiveness, and his hope through Jesus, his unwavering patience, even when we did not know him and were living in sin. So how is your patience threshold? There's a story about Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. Susanna and her husband had 19 children, of which 9 died as infants. And right away you can think, God bless her. She must have had a lot of patience, right? At one time her husband Samuel said to Susanna, I marvel at your patience. You have told that child, we don't know which one it was, the same thing 20 times. Susanna Wesley looked fondly at their child and then at her husband and said, had I spoken the matter only 19 times, I should have lost all my labor. Can you imagine that many children and to be that patient? But she was surely a very patient woman who raised 2 sons, John and Charles Wesley, who would be called by God to lead a revival in England that resulted in the beginnings of the Methodist Church. And many historians credit the Wesleyan revival as keeping England from a bloody revolution or civil war at that time. It's revival that brought hope to a people without hope. 1 Timothy 1:16, but for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. And thinking about that story of Susanna Wesley and hearing this scripture from 1 Timothy 1:16, I realize my patience with others may be that one thing that draws them closer to Jesus. And maybe that one person that is drawn to Jesus will do something incredible in their community and for the Lord. The steps to patience with others is one. Take a breath, take a moment, don't rush into anger, frustration, or outbursts of anger. Ask the Lord for patience at that moment. Consider things are different than what you perceive to be true. For many people, being tailgated, cut off, or have a slow person in front of you is very trying of the patience, is it not? It is for me. But maybe that tailgater or that person, that tailgater especially, is someone who's rushing his pregnant wife to the hospital. Or he's being chased by the police and you certainly don't want to get in his way. Or he is just plain rude and a bully and you still do not want an accident which could be very painful to you or very costly. It's how you perceive it. With patience, let them go and thereby show your Christian fruit of patience. And there's so many other examples we could give. There's a story of a couple who quarreled frequently, and their whole town knew about it. And when at last they ceased their quarreling, questions were asked as to how it all came about. "Two bears did it," said the wife. "Two bears? We thought bears caused trouble." "Ah," said the husband, "but these are two new bears which we found in the Bible. We have learned to love, to bear one another's burdens," Galatians 6:2, "and forbearing one another in love," Ephesians 4:2. Bear one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Think about that. Love is patient and it is kind, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Luke 6:31 is a word from Jesus that speaks to the heart of patience. Here it is. We've heard this before. Luke 6:31, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 15. "And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to another and to all." That really challenges me. For one who by nature is impatient, it helps me to slow down and be a little more patient. Just the other day, I was going on Rockley Boulevard at 35 miles an hour, right? And there was somebody in back of me who was tailgating me. And my immediate response was not to be impatient with him, but to say, "I'm going to annoy him the most I can." But I remembered the sermon I was preaching this week. And I actually pulled over the right lane and let him go. What can I say? But the second thing about patience that is probably the hardest to do is to have patience through trials and sufferings. As I said, these are a people that were suffering horrendous persecution by the authorities and the people of their own community. But then in chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, later on in our scripture, he asks the questions, "Are any among you suffering? Then you should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord." Aging brings about the failings of our body, as many of us well know. Our muscles lose their strength, our skin gets thinner, our hair gets more gray, our bodies just are not what they used to be. In my mind, I think of myself as 30 years old. But my body in the mirror tells me otherwise. But the hardest thing to be patient about is chronic pain. Pain which will not go away and for which we ask God to take away. Why, Lord, must someone endure such deterioration and pain? Chronic pain is extremely hard to endure and tests our patience with the Lord and with others. The best answer about that I have found in Scripture with chronic pain is what the Apostle Paul experienced in his own life. It seems that he had some kind of physical ailment that really bothered him and was chronic and was painful. And he had asked the Lord 3 times in prayer. He pleaded with the Lord, "Take it away." And the Lord, for whatever reason, it did not go away. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. Whenever I am weak, then I am strong." These were people that was being spoken to about having faith and keeping enduring in the midst of persecution, but it also speaks to us for those that are facing chronic pain, to keep their focus on Christ, as John sang to us this morning. Keep your focus on the Lord. We see not by sight, but by faith. God's answer is to go to the Lord for his grace, asking for relief, but trusting that the Lord will strengthen you through your pain. I do not know why God brings relief to some and healing to others. But the point is to know and believe his grace is sufficient for us all, and that God's power overcomes any and all our weaknesses. So how do we bear this fruit of patience? Know that God loves you, and loves you even more. 2, we are all sinners saved by the grace of God and must extend his grace and patience to others. 3, set your mind on what is good and how you can extend that good to the people around you. Here's a quote. Quite honestly, most people are quick to write someone off, but our God is a God of second chance. Learn from one who is patient with you, and you'll learn to be patient with others. Elizabeth Prentice, the wife of a Presbyterian minister, spent most of her adult life as an invalid, seldom knowing a day without constant pain throughout her body. Yet she was described by her friends as a bright-eyed, cheery woman with a keen sense of humor. Elizabeth was always strong in faith and encouraging to others until tragedy struck the Prentice family beyond what even she could bear. The loss of 2 of their children brought great sorrow to Elizabeth's life. For weeks, no one could console her. In her diary, she wrote of empty hands, a worn-out, exhausted body, unalterable longings to flee from a world that has so many sharp experiences. She was losing her patience. During this period of grief, Elizabeth cried out to God, asking him to minister to her broken spirit. It was at this time that Elizabeth's story became a living testimony. For over 100 years, the body of Christ has been encouraged as they sing the words penned by Elizabeth Prentice in her deepest sorrow, "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee. Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, more love to thee. Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee, then shall my latest breast whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry of my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, more love to thee. It is truly in the love of God that he has for us and us to him that we have the patience to endure whatever it is we come to face in this life, because it is indeed a Savior who loves us and who is with us and is patient with us and gives us all that we need to persevere through any weakness. More love, O Christ, more love to thee. Let us pray. Lord, we're truly grateful for the love you have for us and the patience. Oh, Lord, your unwavering, always faithful patience with us. Lord, help us. Help us to grow that patience in our own hearts and minds, that we too will have that patience with people and situations wherever we are, that we can display the love of Christ, that they too will see that and grab that and want Christ in their own heart. And in this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.